Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Getting Down to Brass Stats for Monday, July 23rd. I'm Sanka Price, your host for today's program. And with me is Mr. Dennis Johnson. He's the first voice you'll hear when you call us today at 4341790. Of course, you can reach us via WhatsApp as well at 266-4862. Today, it's going to be we're hoping about 10:30 to join the press conference with the Commissioner of Police, Mr. Tyrone Griffith. He's supposed to give his half-yearly report on what is happening. But I think one of the interesting things about this is that he is supposed to also speak about what sort of security arrangements are going to be put in place for the remainder of the crop over events like the Grand Kadumat, etc. And of course, you know how important that is given what happened last year at Grand Kadumat, that unprecedented shooting. And so far this year, of course, we've had like 17 murders. And for this month, we've had, I think, 3 murders already. But getting back to the cruel thing of security at crop over, we've seen the videos on social media, the fights on the cruises, the fights after the cruises, the fights after different events. It's all very unfortunate. And the commissioner will really have to address how they, along with the promoters and private security, will be able to handle this. I sincerely hope he also touches on the fact that what is being done to fill some of those 200 plus vacancies within the force, because that is one, of course, one of the major things that's holding back the force from doing even more. And apart from that, we also have yesterday, and I'm holding the newspaper here for the Nation, Pride's March is the headline, and it reported on the first gay pride march in Barbados. And the comments are pretty interesting. Basically, I'm particularly interested in the Reverend Clifton Hall, Anglican priest Clifford Hall, sorry. Apparently, he joined the parade on Broad Street, and he said, "Impure minds won't stop it. Fake arguments won't stop it. Legends of fallacies won't stop it. The armies of man won't stop it. The roaring lion won't stop it. Some silly words written in a book thousands of years ago won't stop. It's here now, and it has always been a part of the natural order of things. It's the song of the universe. Don't misuse it. Don't abuse it. It's called love. Don't let anyone bully you or torment you or terrorize you. They've had their day. Yours is now, tomorrow, and forever." Those are very interesting words, and I suspect we will hear much, much more on this during today's segment. But to me, to my mind, the story of the day is the back page story, and why it's really a very disturbing story for me. It's about Rock Hall, St. Philip's. The headline is "Squatters Struggle Turns Violent." I've during days of doing reporting, I've been to Rock Hall, I've been to the Bell, I've been to Six Men's. People who are squatters try to remain faceless and nameless. This situation where a woman alleges that she paid $900 to clear a spot, then to put a house on. Then some people just decide to go and move and put a house on it instead of her. And she has really no rights because it's all illegal. Now, this situation is one that can deteriorate into some serious violence if somebody does not do something about it. The lady is reporting that she went to the police, and the police are telling her it would take a little while to investigate this whole matter. But the thing about it is that we cannot allow situations like this to fester. This is how people get hurt, seriously hurt, when we have these types of problems occurring and people feel that they can't get justice. They are, of course, all illegal in that area because they're squatting, but at the same time, we have to recognize that when an injustice takes place, there must be some sort of peaceful resolution. or not the situation deteriorates even further. Anyhow, I want to hear what's on your mind, and we'll do that right after this commercial. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price here with you, with Dennis Johnson in the chair. And before we go to the phone lines, just a note here from a WhatsApper. They're asking the Barbados Water Authority, what is the problem in Curtin St. Philip? They have been out of water since 2 a.m. this morning, and they would like to know what is happening, and they would also like some relief. This is Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning.
A blessed good morning to you, Sanka.
Mr. Agriculture.
Yes, please, in the flesh, my brother.
How are you today?
Boy, let me tell you what you're holding on. And I'm trusting in the Almighty that things will get better and Barbados will settle down, get some money to pay the bills that me and you can live, because I got children to send back to school in September. Sanka, mm-hmm. Yesterday's front page of the Sunday Sun. Mm-hmm. If I was not strong, I wasn't able to get my son to food eat. And I know the reason, you know the article I'm speaking of?
Yes, I am aware of it.
What is the, I mean, Sanka, I will give you my 2 cents worth on it. But I am happy to, I didn't know you were coming today, but I'm happy that a man like you are in the chair today. But this is disgusted, deplorable behavior. And I wonder from my mind and from the Constitution, what can be done to bring whoever did that First of all,
what is disgusting about it? I mean, anything specifically you're speaking about?
Yeah, I mean, if you are months out from a renewal, 2 years out from a renewal, and you are saying that a general election is close, Sanka, you have no right to be doing these things. I think it is unconstitutional because Parliament was dissolved, Sanka. And there were in the little extra. They don't have a cabinet. This is wrong.
No. The cabinet was in place. Actually, cabinet was running the country.
But
everything that was done in those contracts was legal, and you can quarrel about the ethics of it, but it was all legal. Okay, so let me get that clear. Go ahead.
That is a serious.
No, that cannot be. No, it was legal. Okay, in the 90-day period, all right? And in the 90-day period, the cabinet of Barbados was running the country. Full stop. Okay? Because there was no parliament, so it was all being done by cabinet. Everything they did was legal when it comes to those contracts. We can quarrel about some of the provisions within those contracts, but at the end of the day, it was legal. That is why what the present government is trying to do is to negotiate some of those contracts. Because if you just fire people,
you can get a big lawsuit.
Precisely. And don't forget,
you don't have the money to pay out now.
Right, but don't forget, in 2008, we had a situation with two people primarily.
$1 million they had to
pay out. Yes, but that's because they waited a while to pay him, right?
Right.
George Edgell, mm-hmm. and Peter Scott, one urban and one rural development.
I remember.
But the point is that there are other people who were out of place. What has happened here is that right across the board, a number of contracts have been renewed, all right? Some way before, some just before the election.
But Sanka, in all fairness, I understand all of that. Right? I am not a lawyer, but as a concerned citizen of a country, don't you think? And as a man coming away from all the fine dots and or whatever, cross your T's and dot your I's carefully. From a personal standpoint, do you really think that the persons that we elect to run our country efficiently and effectively should be doing these kind of things? Be honest with me, as a man.
But agriculture, as I said, there are certain things that are legal and there are certain things that are considered not ethical. All right? The 90-day period, for example, it was legal, but was it ethical?
But it was very legal. I'm not disputing that, because at the end of the day, in that same 90-day period, a prime minister is still prime minister until the night of the election, and you bringing those counts. And that is why between May 24th night and 25th morning, that is why the public spoke to them and they get that 30 slate, because the people was ready for them a good 3 or 4 years ago. Yes, little coming down with the campaigning, a lot more of the Democratic Labour Party supporters said, you know what, these people going down the wrong road and I am going to abandon ship and I'm going to go over and I'm going to put down my ex. And I'm not talking to you because I don't have nothing better to do. I have campaigned, I have spoken on political platforms, and I know you have just sat as a moderator in Starcom Network, but I have been a member of this station for well over 20 years, Tanker, and I have made valuable discussions. Sometimes I get too hot. Sometimes I would talk some ignorance in between, make a little joke, be facetious. But at the end of the day, when I come to Dunker Brass Stats, I come to educate people and to enlighten people on some of the things that they do not know that is happening. And that is why I call Brass Stats. I don't just call Brass Stats to let somebody say, I hear you, Mr. Agriculture. I don't got time with that. That's for little children reception and infants behavior. You understand me, Sanka?
I understand you.
I want to talk about this monkey issue now, Sanka, because it is a very serious, serious issue. And I don't know you personally, as I will always say, but by speaking to you, I know that you are a man of integrity. And I have high respect for you. And I hope one day that I can meet you in person. Now, I have spoken about the monkey issue. I have been lambasted. People making a lot of mockery. And this is a serious, serious thing.
They're making monkey sport at you?
Yeah, they're making monkey sport at me and a lot of... And not only me, because I'm not the only person that plants. There are a lot of people who solely depend on agriculture for their livelihood, Sanka. And I know you know that. Mm-hmm. But the people want to make laugh and sport at this issue. You know, human rights and humanity. Where you had yesterday for lunch, Sanka? Not minding your business. They're just trying to make an overall point. Meat-wise, what you had for lunch yesterday?
Pork, sir.
You see? Good. Now, how does that pork get to your table? It don't go to a slaughterhouse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good. Go ahead. You're right. Mm-hmm.
You're right. But so what I'm saying, you can't really pinpoint the two together because everybody's want to get biblical and to say that the Bible say you got to use the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and certain animals of the land to make a meal. But what I'm saying is that when things become a nuisance, and when they have bred over and over, and right now I believe that they are overpopulated, I am not saying to get rid of every single monkey from Barbados, but Sanka, something must be done. You know, with Sanka, you got a bill to pay, or you got this summer vacation, now you're looking to go and buy books or uniform, and you got 300 pounds of cucumbers, another 200 pounds of melon, and when you come out the morning to reap, to go to the supermarket or the hotel or somebody that got a little vegetable shop to get a dollar, the monkey got every single thing down there ripped up, bite up, and destroyed. You know how you would feel as an individual when you go fart, when you go plant, when you go buy seeds, when you go buy spray, when you go buy manure. Now the spray cans they work, and I got 4 spray cans there right now, and none can make one. So people that is not in agriculture could talk all over the face because they say, now me getting a week's salary, then maybe getting a month's salary. But the farmers in Barbados are keeping us healthy. They are trying to keep food on the supermarket shelves and on our tables. And if people don't understand about agriculture, I think they should just sit down, keep their mouth shut, and let the people of that whole high office make a decision to get rid of some of these monkeys. Because they are reaping havoc on every single thing that can pass their mouth, Sanka.
Mr. Agriculture.
You can't poison none of them.
Mr. Agriculture, I totally agree with you, and I'll tell you why. My parents, and I'm sure my mother and father are listening now, my parents live about 2 miles from Bridgetown. They live in the urban corridor. Mm-hmm. All right. And they have a little kitchen garden. Okay. My mother likes digging in the dirt. She has a green thumb. For some reason, any little space, my mother could grow lettuce, sweet peppers, spinach, some kinds of cucumbers, no,
that
a little watermelon.
Good, that is very good.
Soursop, breadfruit. It's unbelievable, the little space.
But I don't mind.
The monkeys, somehow some monkeys have migrated to that area. Here I'm saying, I'm not identifying the area, but it is less than 2 miles from Bridgetown.
And that would never happen before.
Precisely. And they cause pure havoc. to the point now where my mother has now had to literally plow everything, take everything out. Okay, because they just come and bite the tomatoes. They bite everything.
Everything.
They bite and they just bite it and drop it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm breaking all
so
the trees.
Some
there's
something has to be done about this monkey situation. Something really has to be done. So
yeah, because I cannot cross you, sorry. Because look at me. I am sane and I am passionate about it. I am stressed out. I have planting. I got to bring them in before the time. Green is the green grass at home. The monkey putting all the tick mark and they're biting them up. The bananas the same way. With the green papas. There's something called now the bungee top with the papas, Sanka.
Yeah.
I have found
that has come back again?
Papas. Yes.
Oh, dear.
I have found a way to get the papas growing good now. Let me tell you something. Tell the papa get that a turn.
Mm-hmm.
The monkey picking biting up the green one because you know papa is full of milk.
Yeah.
So they don't like that milk. But the ones now that turn and they can figure that they can get a little meal off of them, they're biting them up, eating what they want, eat, pelting the skin there one side, popping off the rest of greens. I mean, cycle over, for heaven's sake.
Yes.
We farmers have bills to pay like anybody else. We have to live like anybody else. You see? And life is difficult as it is already. Mm-hmm. And when you are faced with this situation, as I told you, and you cannot even get nothing to put in your own pot to cook a meal, to break the little air from out of your stomach, you will know the pressure that the farmers and the agriculture people are under in this country. So something has to be done to bring these monkeys to a tolerable situation where that the farmers can go out there and they can plant. You know they can't get everything, but at least they should be able to get 90% of their produce, Sanka. And that is what I am calling on the authorities and the people that are sitting in the House of Assembly. There is my government, and I have been in discussion with certain ministers already, but you know that I am going to use this forum to get across my point even more so that I can strengthen it and let people understand that agriculture is life, agriculture is health, and agriculture is the way forward if we need to cut out the non-communicable diseases and cut down our health bill.
And Mr. Agriculture is gone, and so have a nice day.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. We take another call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Price.
How are you today, sir?
Not too bad. You?
I am fine, thank you.
Listen, I am sure the areas that you're going to, you all are going to police headquarters at 10:30.
We will be trying to.
Oh, okay. Because I was wondering why you kept on that call so long. Lord,
because what he was talking about was an important issue, sir.
Yeah, why you repeat himself? The problem is not the monkeys, you know, Mr. Price. The problem is not the monkeys. The problem is that when you plant something in your place and you go to reap, everything gone, and it's not a 2-foot monkey. It's and blame it no on the 4-foot. You see, so this is how we operate in Barbados. You probably have to get rid of 2-foot with the first. When you get that solved, then you can solve the other the monkeys that don't know the difference, not the better. That doesn't have the intelligence of a man not to know where to go in people's place and take other things. The other thing, Mr. Price, I hear you make mention of an article that was in the back of the Sunday Sun.
No.
Refer to a reverend?
This is today's paper.
Oh, today's paper. I haven't seen
front
it
page. The front page of today's paper is Prize March. This is The Nation, of course.
Uh-huh. The first question you must ask yourself, there are two things in this world. They're good and they're bad. And some people will combine to put the both of them. And they might say that to you and to other people, not you personally, that I remember an old gentleman, he died now. He used to tell me, like, when it comes to that day of resurrection, then they got so many Christians, or so-called Christians in hell, that Satan had to extend the perimeters of hell. And they only hope that some of these so-called people who will not put themselves in that situation. And the last thing, Mr. Price, is your...
But you know that's judgmental.
I go by the word.
No. And the word is a perspective. You know, you people come here, not only you people, I mean, not only callers, I mean, in general, people come with this Christian perspective because we'll be in a Christian society, but there's a Muslim perspective, there's a Hindu perspective, all right? There are different perspectives. So just because you feel that your perspective is right, that doesn't mean that's the only perspective.
I know somebody was right. I said it's one way, and that's the truth. So you can come with me.
The fact that you laugh and I laugh, I think that we understand each other quite well.
Right,
good.
Right.
Next point.
I overheard on a Friday that our driver was telling that about, apparently he gets paid on commission, so he has to take him about $500 a week.
Mm.
He used to pay $100 in diesel every day, so now he's finding himself paying $150. So when you take that $500 plus to $150, it's $150, whatever.
He's left his
say. He says, I hear you tell him, some days he takes $120. So they had a meeting with the Prime Minister.
They were supposed to hold a meeting with the Prime Minister last week, yes? Last week, Friday, I think it was.
But she didn't have to really look at this thing because I don't expect her to be
Look at what? Look at what?
Reviewing the bus fares. Because in order for those people to break even, they would have to take that bus fare to $4 based on his calculation.
Yeah, but sir, it's a bigger issue than just increasing the bus fares. Look, but, hold a second. Do you realize that prices are going up in the supermarket?
Of course.
Good. So that means I should increase your pension.
But if you don't increase my pension, and
we should also increase the salaries of civil servants and everybody in the private sector because the prices are going up in the supermarkets.
It means that I can't buy them. I can't afford to buy them anymore.
No, the substantive thing that I'm saying, sir,
is
that we just can't increase how much we're charging just because something else is happening. What we have to do is to take a look at our expenses and the way we do business to see how we can mitigate in some way what is going on, all right? Because at the end of the day, the thousands of people who depend on transportation, public transportation in Barbados, and given the economic circumstances that exist, you just can't think about just putting up a bus fare like that, all right?
But what would you mind at the end of the day, when you want to take $20?
But my friend, you have to ask yourself, the way in which these guys are remunerated, is that the best way? Because let's face facts, the fact that the owner of a bus gives you that bus and says, look, at the end of the day, you got to give me $500. Oh, yeah. And you got to fill it too with diesel. All right. That means that man, to make a dollar, is got to hustle. When he's going to hustle, that means he's going to break the laws and different regulations on the streets to get a dollar.
Right.
And that is one of the problems on our streets, as you well are aware.
So
therefore,
that.
The first thing I would want to look at is the way in which they do their business.
Okay.
Because the way in which they do their business, they are doing it, they've structured it, this is the owners, so that they can make a reasonable profit, all right?
But let's look at the other way now.
Hold on, but you accept that?
Yeah, of course.
So therefore, the first thing to look at is the way that they're doing it. Then they will tell you, but we structure it this way because of the amount of taxes that we pay, the amount of costs that are involved, in keeping our vehicles on the road. So then the government then has to say, okay, but then we have to look at what we put on you that you need to go about it the way that you're going about it. And then you have that discussion.
Right.
It is after you have all these discussions and you recognize that there really is little elbow room or there is some elbow room that you make adjustments, but you cannot look immediately and say, this is, our costs have gone up, we got to put up the price, because it is going to impact heavily on people who are right now still not getting enough money in salary that they've been complaining about for some time.
But Mr. Price, look at the other side of the story. Now, let's say you only decide to pay you $700 a week. It means that you could carry $100 a day. You could take your time and drive your mom back. Because you know, at the end of the week, you will get $600. You think the owner will be pleased with that?
What I think, sir, is that if we sit down and examine the whole thing, look at it in a comprehensive way, for the time you acquire licenses, about where, how you schedule the buses, and how you regulate the whole bus service in Barbados, then we can come with a strategy that will satisfy all. Because personally, and I'm just telling you this, well, I have to tell you all about Barbados, I personally don't believe that the Transport Board necessarily needs to own all of these buses to run about the bus service that we have in Barbados. Because we have been sinking millions upon millions of dollars in in the Transport Board. As far as I am concerned, okay, all it has been for many years has been a political football. And I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of paying all my taxes to see it just going down the drain. Then we can do better. We need to get past this. And we can get past this. All right?
Okay, thank you.
You need... Wait, running? You running today? Let me take another call. You're on the air. You're on the air? Good morning. All right, just read this. Okay. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Price.
How are you today, sir?
Yeah, I'm well, is that?
I'm fine, thank you.
I'm glad to hear this. No, I want to do a list, be talking about a couple of things. This monkey situation, some years ago, I made a suggestion. It was abhorred, and my sister and my wife felt back then. I put a virus between the monkeys, and time I tell you so, you got them eliminated with ease. Found a serious person in between them, and you have some, and just put them at various points in between the population, and that would be the end of them. Now, it's a serious outcry about vegetables and the red and the crops, etc. Then why is it going to do? Well, you can't just stop and watch the monkeys. They have no soul. So what's all this thing about? Somebody said, I don't know, you're talking humanity with a monkey. Humanity, they don't have any soul, man. So.
Tell me how that you would react to this. Why are the monkeys not destroy? Why do the monkeys don't destroy? I'll just read again. I'm getting a tremendous amount of feedback from you. Are you near your radio? All right, I'll just read this. Why do the monkeys destroy only domesticated crops? The person is asking, or rather they say, I think the monkeys are trying to tell us that we are growing our crops by unnatural means and using man-made chemicals that are not good for consumption. So that is why they tend to be attacking the crops of homeowners and small plots who don't use a lot of chemicals, unlike the larger expanses of cultivation. Yeah. How was your response to that?
I don't know if I can attribute anything like to the monkey. We're deciphering what they should do and how they should. I think they just go wild and erratic and just burst through some crops. They don't figure that they pick and choose or anything of the sort. They operate off of instinct. So we operate off of, we've got sense, right? Animals operate off instinct. So I don't think, I wouldn't attribute any know-how that they can rationalize and reason or anything. That's my view on it. No. Hello?
Yeah, listen to you.
All right, quickly. I must listen to report Mr. Johnson is going to laugh in the background. I am hooked on eating rock cakes. I would admit this. And so I buy them often. I must report there's a reduction in a particular rock cake by Tuna Park, and they were 230, now they're 210. We were 230 recently, now they're 210. So I've got a thing of 20 cents. So now how you come and we castigate and cut those on prices, $300 more, whatever, when I notice this and my fairness and in my disposition, I would also come and report that. You see? To keep balance, that's all, yeah. I understand there's a shuttle, you got to pay $3 to be taken from the supermarket. I'm reliably informed. Two persons went there, two family members, and they paid $6 to be shuttled away. I don't know how that's going to work.
This is from the supermarket?
From a supermarket.
Do you think that is unreasonable?